Let me speak to Mr. Jim Fitzpatrick, who's a Labour MP. Mr. Fitzpatrick, good morning.
Morning, Mr. Mitchell.
You will try and bring down the government today, but you won't succeed.
I think that's the expectation. The Conservative benches, I'm sure, will rally around the Prime Minister and the government, and the DUP, I understand, will be voting to support the government. So the numbers just aren't there. That's correct.
So if you're not going to get a general election, will the Labour Party do what we expect them to do, going by all the meetings they've had in recent times and called for a second referendum?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure what we will do. There was a motion to our conference last year which said, in the event of not succeeding in getting a general election, then we would look at all the options, including calling for another referendum. The party hasn't officially adopted that stance yet, because obviously it doesn't want to anticipate what the vote might be this evening. But the leadership will have to confront that very difficult question this evening or tomorrow morning.
Do you think Jeremy Corbyn's prepared to go with a second referendum?
Well, Jeremy has clearly been resistant all the way through to a second referendum. It isn't his personal choice, I don't believe. But it is a decision of the annual conference of the Labour Party, and Jeremy has always prided himself on being a Democrat and accepting the majority view of our conference. So I think he's between a rock and a hard place if he doesn't want one, because I don't think he's got any alternative but to call for one.
What does Theresa May need to do to get more Labour support so as she's not hung on the hook of the DUP?
Well, I think first of all, one thing she did say last night, which she hasn't done before, is to reach across the chamber. When you think that both of the major parties went into the 2017 general election promising to respect the outcome of the referendum in their manifestos, and 80% of the country supported that, given the nature of the momentous decision that was having to be taken, she ought to have reached out across the chamber at that point and said, this is a national issue. We both agree there should be national negotiations with the European Union in Brussels. Let's make this a joint party venture. I think she wouldn't have got herself into the position that she's in now. In terms of what Labour would ask, there are a whole number of things that Labour has been asking for in terms of customs union, trade access, workers' rights, environmental standards, consumer protection. When you look at the six tasks, the 6 points that Labour said it would need to be met for it to support the deal, the government clearly has met some of those, and they are subjective tests. So I think cross-party approach to Brussels is the first option, and then we can see how far she can go and how far Labour can help.
And where are you on the backstop that the DUP and so many others see as a threat to the union?
Well, that's clearly the major stumbling block for the DUP, but also for a whole number of Conservatives, and certainly because the Good Friday Agreement, the Belfast Agreement, is so important to the whole of the UK, and because of its historic importance, its significance, the clarity that is needed there to make sure that Northern Ireland is being protected and remains, as long as it wishes, a part of the United Kingdom, that has got to be clarified. And again, that is a key issue for the negotiators.
But is it a key issue for Jim Fitzpatrick, Labour MP? Is it a key issue for you?
Oh, of course. I mean, I think you can imagine with a name like Fitzpatrick, I've got generations beforehand who were Irish. I have Irish family, I have Irish relatives, Irish friends. As a London MP, having come through the major decades of the most recent troubles, the Good Friday Agreement was an absolutely massive, a massively important piece of history for me, building on the John Major negotiations and the original ceasefire, the Blair administration delivering that agreement with all the parties in Northern Ireland. It is absolutely fundamentally important to me.
Yes,
but
do you stand with the SDLP and Sinn Féin on it, or do you stand with the DUP on it? It's important to get it sorted out, but where do you stand? Do you believe that the backstop is good for the future of Britain when we leave the European Union?
The backstop, as everybody keeps saying over here, is a temporary measure. Brussels don't want it. London doesn't want it. What we want is clarity in respect of the future of Northern Ireland, the role that it plays in the transitional period. In that instance, it's that lack of clarity which is creating the confusion and allowing different people to arrive at different conclusions as to what it means and its significance.
There is a lack of clarity generally, isn't there? There's confusion. If we look all around, there's confusion everywhere, in every dimension and in every quarter. And one of the main issues is the one that I asked you at the very beginning, and you said you'll wait until the vote is taken tonight. And indeed, we can predict how the vote's going to go tonight. The government will not fall tonight. So when will an announcement be made by the Labour Party as to where they stand on the second referendum?
That's above my pay grade, Frank. That's a matter for the shadow cabinet, for the national executive of the Labour Party. I'm not privy to those internal discussions as to what the next step is and when it's going to be made. It's quite clear that it is the question everybody is asking. Jeremy Corbyn is very much in the spotlight. He has to make a decision at some point, but at this point in time, he's focusing on the debate this afternoon, the vote at 7 o'clock, and then it will be down to Jeremy to say what we're going to do.
Okay, Jim Fitzpatrick, MP for Poplar and Limehouse, thank you very, very much indeed. I want to speak to Máirtín O'Mullier from Sinn Féin. Máirtín, good morning.
Frank, good morning to you. You were doing a great job there with Mr. Fitzpatrick, who's certainly a very Irish MP. But I suppose the fault line with the Labour Party in Britain is that they don't respect the fact that a majority here in the North voted to stay. And if the Labour Party would take that position, that a majority here want to remain in the European Union, the very least we need then to ensure we don't suffer the damage of the exit that the English people clearly want is that he should be guaranteeing the backstop as the bottom line for us in the North. But certainly, I mean, this is one of the sad aspects of this, the failure of the British Labour Party to acknowledge that a majority here, a clear majority, rejected this DUP Brexiteer position.
The vote was to leave the European Union. And I know you'll say the majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the European Union. But we are leaving. And we look yesterday at what happened in the House of Commons and the vote that went against the Prime Minister. Do you have some sympathy at this moment in time for the position that she's in? Is there any way that she's going to deliver something that will include the backstop that's so important to you?
Well, there was a lot of big statements there, Frank, in your question, including that we are leaving. When, of course, we're really where we were in June 2016. That is that, and if you like me, if you value the principle of consent, it's more than just a matter of mathematics that the majority in the Northern Ireland voted to remain. It's fundamental, I think, to understanding how we can progress as a society, how we maintain the progress and momentum of our peace process and so on and so forth. So, but let's set that to the side. We are exactly where we were in June 16. That is, those of us who wish to remain want to protect the economy here, want to protect society, want to protect our farmers, our trade unionists, our business sector. And to do that, we cannot have the Brexit as envisaged by the DUP, who were the only party here who campaigned vigorously for exit, or the Brexit, this sort of return to Empire Mark II that is envisaged by the Brexit extremists. We can't have this narrow ideological Brexit. So even though we've spent now over 2.5 years, I suppose it is certainly 2.5 years, going around in circles, we're very firm that despite the chaos and confusion in London, those of us who want to protect society here have to say firmly to our colleagues in Europe, and I think the Sinn Féin MEPs right across the island have done very well there. The position they've argued for since June 2016 has been vindicated and endorsed by 27 heads of state. And the Irish government need to stay firm, stand firm. There can be no return to this ugly, divisive border that we had in the past. there can be no destruction of the integrated All-Ireland market, especially for agri-foods. There can be no attack, as it were, on our academic institutions or on our health service. And to the 88,000 EU nationals, and that excludes our colleagues from across the border who have moved up here, but to 88,000 EU nationals, I think the message needs to go out to them as well. We want them to remain, to stay here, to be part of the society. We don't want them to be a lesser neighbour in the time ahead. But all that is envisaged by Brexit, of the Brexiteers.
But for all of that list that you have there, for you to meet your demands and for people to be satisfied with regards to what you've just said, surely we need a smooth Brexit as opposed to the crisis that's looming at the moment. What can be done to ensure there's a smooth Brexit?
Well, what we need is no Brexit, I think, and that is the wish of people here. But when you talk about a smooth Brexit, I agree with you entirely. What you need then is the British government to agree the withdrawal agreement, agree to the force terms, and then move on to the future relationship. To do that, they have to know what they want. Mrs. May went to Europe on several occasions. She argued her position, the 27 argued theirs. They came up with an agreement which she cannot get through Parliament. It's unclear to me and it's unclear to you what exactly it is that the British Parliament wants. If they can put something on the table, then they should do so. It's clear that the Labour Party, and I listen carefully and respectfully to Mr. Fitzpatrick, but obviously they see this as an opportunity also to take down the government of Mrs. May. So it's not clear what really they want, and you were pressing Mr. Fitzpatrick on the backstop. It's not clear really what the Labour Party, what type of deal they want, what type of withdrawal agreement they would agree to, what type of future relationship they want either. So it does come back home, Frank, that we have to defend the Good Friday Agreement. We have to defend the progress we have made here in building the peace. We have to defend our economy, and we have to defend our neighbours who are EU nationals. So, you know, there is a lot of lack of clarity in London, but I think it's very clear here that there's been no change. I certainly don't sense a change on the streets. People saying that now they're convinced that this narrow, reckless DUP Brexit is good for us. In fact, 21 business organisations, unprecedented in my time, have come together and said as one, do not allow a no-deal Brexit to happen, and yet that's the direction which we're going and who supported the withdrawal agreement.
And finally, and briefly, Martin O'Mullier, do you think the Labour Party will call for a second referendum?
Well, I don't know. I do know this. If there's a second referendum, Sinn Féin will campaign to remain again. And I would say to, especially to the British Labour Party, but I'd say to everybody, all the politicians in Britain, look, respect the cornerstone of the peace process here is that the will of the majority in the north of Ireland should be respected, especially in existential matters like the underpinning of our peace by the EU. And every party in Britain, especially in England, should commit to that, Jeremy Corbyn and Mrs. May, that when a majority here votes, if there is a second referendum, the majority here votes to remain, that should be the absolute sacrosanct position.
A lot of people saying that you're flying in the face of democracy because democracy said we were to leave the European Union. But we could go round in circles on that one. I'm just quoting some of the texts that are coming up.
Well, Frank, I wish you well. I know you're good at reading the stars. Maybe you can tell us what lies ahead of us. But I think for those of us who said in 2016 we're going to fight for a special status, a special deal to reflect our special circumstances, we remain on that path today.
Martin O'Mullier, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Your opinions on what you've heard from a variety of politicians, very welcome indeed.